from the bookshelf of the world. The Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education, brings you the search for Captain Kidd's treasure by Edgar Allan Poe in
The Gold Bug.
Early in our bookshelf series, we presented three of Edgar Allan Poe's famous short stories, The Telltale Heart, The Cask of Amontillado, and The Fall of the House of Usher. We found Poe the master of the perfect horror story, where every word, every sentence had a definite purpose to hold the reader or listener by sheer fright until the desired effect had been achieved.
But tonight we discover a new Poe, a master detective. A writer who sets a pattern in which a master detective never goes wrong in solving the riddles that baffle the police. A pattern which has been followed by writers of mystery stories down to A. Conan Doyle and S.S. Van Dyne.
Listen as the bookshelf of the world brings you Edgar Allan Poe's The Gold Bug.
Well, good evening, Mr. Poe.
Good evening, Jupiter.
Ah, so it's you, Poe. Well, don't stand there. Come in, come in.
What's wrong with you tonight, Legrand?
Jupiter?
Yes, sir?
Shut the door, bolt it.
Yes, sir.
Now, tell me, Legrand, what's the trouble?
Oh, off with your coat. Sit down, man. Wait until you've heard the news.
Oh, so you've received some news?
No. I found... Well, today, walking along the beach and feeling perfectly miserable, I came upon a large and very beautiful insect.
Indeed, an insect.
Yes. I hunted him down and caught him in a bit of paper lying under a rock on the beach.
Not really. An insect on the beach. Remarkable.
Yes, my friend. Remarkable. Because this bug is a totally new type. Never seen in the world before. I've looked at it for hours without end. And though it makes no sound, it tells me things. It tells me that there is more in this discovery than the finding of a scientific specimen. That this amazing insect is the key to some mystery. Perhaps the symbol of a purpose.
Oh, now that's really too much.
Is it? I wonder.
Many years ago, by sheer accident, I contracted an intimacy with William Legrand. Once wealthy, a series of misfortunes had reduced him to living in a crude hut on Sullivan's Island near Charleston, South Carolina. He spent his time collecting specimens of the natural life of the island and was taken care of by his faithful servant, Jupiter. He excited my interest, and I wished to lighten his loneliness. And that is why, summoned by him, I was sitting in his hut by the fireplace that evening, listening to his strange talk about the insect that he had found. Well, I'm still waiting, Legrand, for a look at your famous bug.
Of course, but you'll have to wait until tomorrow. Coming back here with it, I met Lieutenant Graham from the fort and very foolishly lent him the bug. But stay the night with us and I'll send Jupiter for it at sunrise. It's the loveliest thing in all creation.
Yes, what is the sunrise?
Nonsense, no, the bug. You never saw a more brilliant gold luster in all your life.
It is gold. Nothing could look like that bug and not be gold.
You'll see it tomorrow. Oh, here, but just a moment. Let me draw it for you. Jupiter, the writing paper.
Well, I believe we ran out of writing paper a ways back, Mr. Will. Why don't you take that scrap out of your pocket and use that, what you caught the gold bug with?
Yes, I suppose it'll do. Warm yourself at the fire, Poe.
Thank you.
Yes, about the size of a hickory nut, with two jet-black spots near one extremity of the back and another, somewhat larger, at the other. There. And look at it very carefully. Jupiter, bring a candle for Mr. Poe.
No. I'll hold it closer to the fire. There. Yes, I see it. Well.
Unusual, eh?
Well, I must confess that your drawing is of the strangest insect I've ever seen. It's quite new to me indeed. It resembles a skull or a death's head more closely than anything else I ever saw.
A death's head?
Exactly.
Well, Yes, it might have some such appearance on paper. The two upper black spots look like eyes.
Yes, yes, perhaps so. But, Legrand, really, I fear that you're no artist. I must wait to see the gold bug itself.
No artist? Well, I flatter myself I ought to be able to draw a tolerable likeness of a bug.
I can only accept the evidence of my eyes. Here, see for yourself.
Yes, give it to me.
Now, tell me what you see.
Well, I see it. Why, yes. It is a death's head.
Don't pretend that you never knew.
Good heavens. It is. It's a death's head.
You better set yourself down now, Mr. Will. Look at your face. It's burning red. Don't you think you better lie down for a while?
Yes, yes, yes. Legrand, you look ill.
No! Will, you idiot!
Let me help you to bed, Legrand.
Unhand me, I say, both of you! I assure you, I'm quite all right. Quite all right.
But judging from the color of your face, your blood must be boiling.
Well, it might, my friend. You are my friend, are you not?
Of course, of course.
Then go now. Return to Charleston.
But I've only just come.
If you are the friend you say you are, then please go.
But you asked me to stay the night to see your famous gold bug.
Jupiter?
Yes, sir, Mr. Will?
Be good enough to hand Mr. Poe his coat.
About a month after this, during which time the pressure of other business gave me no opportunity to go to Sullivan's Island to see my poor friend, I received a visit at Charleston from Jupiter. I'd never seen the good old Negro look so dispirited, and I feared that some serious disaster had befallen my friend. Well, Jupiter, it's you. Have you had your breakfast?
No, sir, Mr. Poe.
Well, feed yourself and then tell me what brings you here.
I believe I'd better tell you first, Mr. Poe.
Why, is anything wrong with your master?
Well, speaking the truth, Mr. Poe, he ain't well at all. Not one bit.
Of what does he complain?
Well, now, that's just it. If he only complained, then I'd know it is a good sickness. But he doesn't say nothing at all, Mr. Poe. And he can't hardly eat a thing and never sleeps.
You mean his mind?
Yes, sir. I do believe he might be losing the best part of his senses.
Oh, you might be wrong, Jupiter. He'll probably get over this mood or whatever it is. Tell me what's been happening since I saw you last.
Well, it started with the bug, Mr. Poe.
The what?
The bug.
The gold bug. Eh?
Yes, sir. He talks about it even in his sleep. And he counts numbers to himself all the time. 24, 85, 72, 762, and I don't know how many other numbers. That poor man is touched in his head, and right deep, too.
Is that so?
Oh, I almost forgot. He said for me to give you this.
A message from Legrand?
You better read it right now, sir.
My dear friend, I must see you on a matter of the highest importance. You must come back now with Jupiter. Tomorrow may be too late. Everything is at stake. Believe me, William Legrand.
Well, here we are, Mr. Poe.
Well, you deal in mystery indeed, Legrand. Now, what is this matter of highest importance that you mentioned in your note?
What else but the gold bug?
Didn't I tell you, Mr. Poe? Didn't I tell you?
Jupiter's been talking about the gold bug, hasn't he?
Well, he did say something about it.
He was right, you know.
How so?
It is a bug of real gold.
Well, don't glare at me so. You're so pale.
My appearance frightens you?
Yes, your face is more than pale. It's ghastly, and your eyes glow with an unnatural fire.
You think me completely mad, don't you?
No, but how can you, an educated man...
Just because I am an educated man, that this bug will make my fortune. I have only to use it properly, and I shall arrive at the gold of which it is the symbol.
Yes, well...
I've decided to confide in you. You've been my old friend, and you deserve to share the riches the gold bug will bring.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, but what riches? I don't quite understand.
Do you promise, on your honor, never to divulge to any living soul what I am about to tell you?
Well, yes, I promise.
Good. When I saw the gold bug for the first time, I caught it up in my hand, but it bit me. I snatched a weather-beaten piece of paper lying under a rock and wrapped the bug in it.
Yes, so Jupiter mentioned, as I recall.
And then later, in drawing a sketch of it for you, I employed that same piece of paper. upon which you perceived the outlines of a death's head.
Yes, which you put into your pocket.
And then asked you to leave.
Yes, I remember that.
Not because you had incurred my displeasure in any way, Poe, but because I realized the paper was not paper, but sheepskin.
Well, that was hardly...
And because I knew I had not drawn a death's head on it. I remember you were sitting there by the fire. And so after you left, I put the sheepskin to the heat of the fire and saw a host of numbers rising, so to speak, out of the gold-colored flames of the fire.
Numbers? Jupiter, I believe, mentioned your interest in numbers.
The numbers, my friend, were a code. A code which I am convinced will lead us to a buried treasure.
But what makes you so certain that the code, as you call it, will do that?
Because of the death's head, which upon further exposure to the fire emerged as a skull and bones. And because with it was the drawing of a kid.
A kid?
Yes, a young goat. The trademark and name of the most famous of all pirates.
Captain Kidd?
Yes, the Captain Kidd, who left hidden treasures of countless wealth at various points along the southern seacoast. Why not here, then, on Sullivan's Island?
What does the code say?
It took me an entire month of the deepest mental labor to decipher it. And just before dawn today, I finished my task and then sent Jupiter after you. Oh, you must help me, Poe. You must help me dig.
Dig? You mean you actually know where the treasure is?
I do. Listen. A good glass in the bishop's hostel, in the devil's seat, 21 degrees and 13 minutes northeast by north. Main branch, seventh limb, east side. Shoot from left eye. A beeline from the tree, through the shot, 50 feet out. Yes, that's where to find it.
Now, Legrand, will you promise me one thing?
What?
Yes, I shall be happy to help you gain your treasure, but should you not find it as you suppose, will you then give me your promise to let me take you to the mainland and to subject yourself to a complete medical examination?
A complete medical examination, indeed. So you believe me to be as crazy as a loon, eh? That the treasure exists only in my mind.
Do you accept my bargain?
I accept your challenge. Yes, whether or not I am truly mad, you shall know tonight.
According to Legrand's calculations, we would return at sunrise if we left immediately, that is to say, in the late afternoon. Legrand, Jupiter, and myself. Jupiter was told nothing. He carried the spades and a scythe, eye the lanterns, and Legrand took charge of the gold bug, which he carried attached to the end of a bit of whipcord, twirling it to and fro like a conjurer. We got into a boat, rowed to a desolate part of the mainland, and walked and walked and walked.
Do you mind telling me why we're going in this direction?
I was thinking about that myself.
I wondered how long it would be before one of you asked. I don't mind telling you we're going to a place called Bessop's Castle.
Castle? I never heard of any castles around here, Mr. Will.
Nor I.
Oh, didn't you? Others have. Legrand! Where are you leading us?
I can't see how anybody could even build a little old shack on top of this mountain. He's talking about a castle.
Just a little further up this way. We'll have time. The sun's just going down.
Well, where's the castle? I don't see a thing but these rock formations.
Exactly. The code begins with Bishop's Hostel, which, of course, is Bishop's Hotel. Which meant nothing to me until it suddenly entered my mind that this might have some connection with an old family on the island named Bessop.
Oh, that's why you lit out one morning and never come back till dark.
Exactly. I visited the plantation and got one of the oldest women to lead me to a place she called Bessop's Castle, which is not a castle at all, but that high rock you see up there.
Oh, now, really, Legrand,
the castles are made out of rocks, but it takes more than one rock to be a castle.
Follow me.
Oh,
Well, here we stand atop the rock. Now what, Legrand?
Look down below. Tell me what you see.
Why, nothing. Just rocks.
What kind? They're closest to us.
Why, I'd say the closest one was a ledge.
How long? How wide?
About 18 inches long and a foot wide, I should say.
That is to say, the rough dimensions of a chair.
Yes.
And now, do you remember how the code started? A good glass in the bishop's hostel and the devil's seat. That ledge down there, Poe, must be the devil's seat. And the good glass can mean nothing but a telescope to be used from the devil's seat.
Oh, what kind of devil talk is that?
It's beautifully simple, Jupiter. 21 degrees and 13 minutes northeast by north. Jupiter, come here. Poe, here on my other side.
Yes.
Now take my arms and lower me down to the devil's seat.
Legrand took out a pocket compass, once seated on the ledge, and after determining northeast by north, faced himself in that direction. He then raised the telescope to his eye, lifting it, as he informed me, to his approximation of 21 degrees and 13 minutes above the star-studded horizon. And suddenly, he cried out.
Halt! Mr. Will! Yes, quickly, help me up!
Help. Yes, all right.
There,
now then, take my hand. Easy does it.
It's unbelievable. Or as you would say, Paul, impossible.
Yes, but be careful. Are you perfectly certain that you're able to go
out? Not
on?
Another word. You must see it for yourself. The light's still fairly good. Here, take the compass and telescope. Jupiter and I will lower you into the devil's seat.
But, my dear friend...
What? You've lost interest in whether or not I'm mad? Well?
Well, all right. Drop me to the ledge.
Lend me a hand, Jupiter.
Yes, I am.
Be careful, Poe.
Easy.
To the right.
All right, I've...
Now, do as I say. Take the compass and find northeast by north.
Northeast by north. Yes, I have it.
Now, raise the telescope in that direction to what you think is 21 degrees, 13 minutes up from the line. Slowly.
I am.
Now, tell me what you see.
Nothing.
Well, keep moving the telescope up and down. Slowly.
Wait. I see a circular rift. An opening in the foliage of a big tree.
And in the center of the opening, what do you see?
I don't know. It's something like a white spot, a dim blur.
Adjust the telescope. Look at it again.
Very well. Now, I don't think I...
Ha! Yes?
High in the tree.
Yes?
It's a human skull.
A death's head. The sign on the sheepskin. Come, Jupiter. Let's help him up. We must get to the tree.
Here's the tree.
Set the lantern down, Jupiter. Start climbing up. Keep going until I tell you to stop. Here, take the gold bug with you.
No, sir. I ain't climbing no tree holding the gold bug in my hand.
But you won't be holding it in your hand.
Well, how do you expect me to carry it in my mouth?
See this? The bug's tied to this long piece of string.
No, sir. I'll help you find castles in the dark, carry your scythe and spade, walk alongside you all the way to Kingdom Come. But Mr. Will, sir, I can't have no truck with that gold bug.
Why not? Well, speak up quickly.
Well, Mr. Poe, he knows why.
Why? Well, Jupiter fears that you're under some spell caused by the gold bug.
Well, tell him I'm not under any spell whatsoever. Tell him!
Yes. Mr. Legrand is right, Jupiter. Take my word for it. He's perfectly well, and he knows exactly what he's doing.
What? Well, how are you feeling, Mr. Poe?
Mr. Legrand and I have no intention of taking advantage of you, Jupiter.
Well...
You needn't even touch the bug. Just the string.
Well, you say it's all right?
I do.
Then give me the bug, Mr. Will.
Yeah. And thank you, Jupiter.
Just let me know when you want me to stop. Here I go.
Main branch, seventh limb... East side.
The code?
Yes, of course.
Which way now, Mr. Will?
Oh, keep on the largest branch, the one on this side. There, that's it. Now listen to what I say. Look down and count the limbs under you on this side. How many limbs have you passed?
two.
Well, climb until you can count six under you.
Six, huh?
Yes, six. I suggest that you warn Jupiter of what's waiting for him on the seventh limb, because the shock might make him lose hold of the branch.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Mr. Will, I got six limbs under me now, Mr. Will.
Oh, fine, fine. Now, Jupiter, I want you to work your way out on that limb as far as you can.
I'm afraid this limb is mighty weak, sir, but it might hold me if I dropped this gold bug and made myself a lighter weight.
You stop that nonsense. If you drop that bug, I'll wring your neck.
Jupiter!
Yes, Mr. Poe?
Please do as Mr. LeGrand says. If you see anything that might look like a skull, don't be afraid. It's supposed to be there.
A skull?
Yes.
Skull's supposed to be high up in a tree?
Yes. Do you see it?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Fine work, Jupiter.
It's got a big old nail through it and into the tree.
Now do exactly as I tell you. Here?
Yes, sir.
Find the left eye of the skull.
Why the left?
Well, don't you remember the code? Shoot from the left eye of the death's head.
Oh.
The left eye?
Yes. Yes. Don't you know your right hand from your left?
Of course I do.
Then let the gold bug drop through the left eye. And be careful not to let go of the end of the string.
All right. Here she comes.
Hold up the lantern. Now, there. There's the bug.
Well done, Jupiter. Now let go of the string and come down.
With a peg, by the light of the lantern, LeGrand marked the spot upon which the bug touched the ground, and following the code, marked off 50 feet in a straight line from the tree trunk. Then, with a scythe, he marked a circle 4 yards in diameter and ordered us to pick up the spades and dig. As I wielded my spade, I began to believe that I, too, had fallen under the spell which had captured LeGrand. Had I really seen a skull through the telescope, or had I succumbed to the same hallucinations which had taken hold of LeGrand? But, with a zeal worthy of a more rational cause, I dug on. All three of us dug steadily for 2 hours to a depth of 5 feet in the 4-yard circle. But nothing appeared. And LeGrand became suddenly and strangely subdued.
Stop digging.
Yes, sir.
Failure.
Yes, but it was inevitable. You had to fail.
But there it was, Poe, on black and white, as plain as anyone could see. A good glass in the bishop's hostel. In the devil's seat, 2113 northeast by north. Main branch. Seventh limb, east side. Shoot from left eye of the death's head through the shot 50 feet out.
Now, please, Mr. Will, don't take on so bad.
The night wind shivers through you, my friend. It's time to go back to your house to a warm fire and a good soft bed. And then in the morning...
Yes, yes, I know. In the morning, you'll take me to the mainland, lock me up in a crazy house.
Oh, poor Mr. Will.
You too, Jupiter. You two think I'm a madman.
I don't think nothing, Mr. Will. I can only go by what my two eyes tell me.
Your two eyes, eh? Your two eyes. Yes, your right eye and your left eye. Yes!
Don't shake me so, Mr. Will. You're hurting me.
You villain. Answer me instantly. Which is your left eye? Show me your left eye.
Ain't this my left eye?
LeGrand. Keep still, Poe. Now think carefully, Jupiter. Did you or did you not put the gold bug through the eye of the skull directly opposite to your left eye?
I sure did, Mr. Will, just the way you told me.
I thought so.
What are you getting at?
Pick up your spades.
You mean we're going to dig some more?
I mean you're going to put the bug in the cord through the other eye. And then we'll dig all over again. Up the tree with you, Jupiter.
I was too tired to pay any attention to LeGrand and Jupiter. But when LeGrand marked another circle 4 yards in diameter, I restrained my wish to give it all up and leave him in favor of going through with him to the bitter end of his fruitless dream. After about an hour of this new digging, my spade touched something.
Hey, I heard something.
Yes, yes, hold the lantern up.
There.
Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord.
Bones. The bones of a skeleton.
Dig! Please, Mr. Will, we've been digging and digging, and all we found is an old heap of bones. I can't dig no more, sir. I can't lift this spade one more time.
Dig, I tell you. Dig!
Legrand urged us on until it seemed, with a skeleton lying on the ground nearby, that we might indeed be burying more than Legrand's dream. That somewhere, that night, we were being watched, and that we would never leave the spot alive. My mind had hardly formed this thought when my boot slipped under me and I stumbled. The toe of my boot.
Good heavens, the snake.
No. My boot is caught in some sort of an iron ring.
Iron?
Yes.
Let's dig under it.
Well, look here. Look, it's an iron box and a big one.
An iron box. Luckily, the sole fastenings consisted of two sliding bolts. As we drew back and held up the lanterns, I shall not pretend to describe my feelings. Legrand bent down and... Good heavens!
Look at it! Full to the brim with gold and jewels, glowing like a thousand sunbursts.
It's the treasure! Yes, the treasure of Captain Kidd.
This come from a little old bug.
Well, Poe, call me a madman now.
Please accept my very humblest apologies, but kindly tell me, how did you find the mistake in the code?
There was no mistake in the code. Jupiter misunderstood my directions when he was up in the tree. Or perhaps I failed to direct him clearly. The code ordered that the bug be dropped through the left eye of the skull. But Jupiter dropped the gold bug through the eye directly opposite his own left eye, which was the skull's right eye. And that made a difference of many feet, actually.
Yes, go on, Legrand.
When the line was put through the left eye of the skull, it reached the ground at a spot about 3 inches from where it did when it went through the right eye.
Yes.
And therefore, by taking a direction from the center of the tree trunk through this new point and pacing out 50 feet, I reached a spot that was a number of yards distant from the one where we first dug.
Oh, I see.
And it was the right spot.
Well, look, Mr. Will, can I ask something?
What is it, Jupiter?
How you figure this skeleton got buried so close to the treasure chest?
Well, Jupiter, I'll answer that with another question. Will you lift that chest?
Lift the chest? Yes, sir. I can't hardly do that, sir. That's a powerful heavy chest.
Exactly. So Captain Kidd had to have someone to help him carry it here, and to help bury it. Now, I imagine he thought it a good idea that nobody but him should know where that chest was buried, eh?
Well, yes, sir.
So, when his helper had done what Kidd needed to have done, well, it's my idea that the captain finished him off with a bullet or the stroke of a cutlass. And where was a better place to bury him than with the treasure itself?
You have been listening to The Gold Bug by Edgar Allan Poe. Each week, adaptations of the world's famous stories will be presented for the members of the armed forces and designed for listening on the bookshelf of the world. Dick Crawford speaking. This program came to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.